stand, I fall on you. Just think about that imagery for a minute, you know? Remember when Jess and Sam were tiny little babies and they were just got to that point of exhaustion and they just used to flop on you. Yeah? And they were just full of, just they couldn't stand anymore. They just literally just flopped into my arms or Antoinette's arms. Precious moments, I think. They don't tend to do it so much. They just go to bed now. Or we fall in their arms and say, but isn't that just a wonderful picture, you know, that when we cannot stand, when life just gets too much, and just good evening, Jackie, lovely to see you, Jackie. When life just gets too much, and just the stress and the difficulty of life just gets too much, isn't it just great to know that we can just fall on him? Isn't that just a wonderful picture? And throughout Scripture, we see that, don't we? All the time, Jesus says, come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you need resourcing. Come to me if you need understanding. Come to me if you need more love. Come to me if you need more of anything. Come to me. But just as we were singing that, it's not what I'm speaking about, by the way, but just as we were singing that, just that whole imagery that we can just fall into the hands of Jesus. What a great place to fall into. And isn't it wonderful that when you fall into the hands of Jesus, there's no condemnation? It's just love, acceptance, grace. And when you fall into the arms of Jesus, you know, when he brings you back up again to do the things that he calls you to do, he does it in such a loving, caring way, doesn't he? He's just a God of compassion, a God of love, a God of, you know, even when we're rascals. Well, when I'm a rascal then. You know, he just pulls us up gently back into that place of just obedience, of walking with him again. And then when it gets to a bit too much, again, we can just fall into his hands, fall into his arms, and just take time to restore ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian a long time, and there's been many opportunities that I've been able just to fall into the arms of Jesus for a while. People say, well, you know, and just to not take a break from Jesus, actually, they're probably the most intense times in my life, actually, falling in his arms, because it's when he speaks to me really profoundly. We're going to finish our series tonight on desiring God, and I have to confess that I've not kept to any of the verses the three times I've preached. I've just changed them all the time. So tonight we're supposed to do Matthew 6, and I've changed that again. So Angela's looking at me saying, really? Do what you're told. But I told myself, so I can change it, can't I? So I want us just to close the series, and I said that I would speak just very briefly tonight, and Anjanette said, well, make sure you do. So she's come to check. So you're going to see that pastor's obedient to his wife this evening. Ready, steady, go. But I want to start with a question, and I want you to open your Bibles in a minute, because I'm going to get you to just read out some Bible scriptures to me tonight. But I want to ask you a question. As we finish this whole series on desiring God, I want to ask you a question, and the question is this: what do you do if you wake up feeling fragile? What do you do when you wake up and you're feeling fragile? And I'm not just talking to the ladies among us. Us blokes, we think we're well-armed and sorted. The question is to you too, every single one of you, me included, and even Dazza hiding in the corner. What do you do when you wake up feeling fragile? Do you know what I mean? What do you do when you wake up in the morning and you just feel fragile? You just feel that you're just not in the right space. You're not in the right zone. The world is just all around you. There's so much going on in your life and so much going on in your headspace as well as your world space. And what it means to feel fragile will mean very different to all of us. Even on staff team, Ricky, myself, and Jonathan, what it means for me to be fragile is different from what it means for Jonathan to be fragile, to Ricky to be fragile. We're all different, and that's okay. But the question is, first of all, is what do you do when you wake up feeling fragile? First of all, you have to understand what that means for you. You know, what does that mean for you individually tonight, you know? Sometimes I wake up and, you know, it means different for me when I feel fragile. I just feel, oh, Lord, I'm feeling rejected today. I'm feeling, You know, I've looked at Facebook before this point, and I'm just like, really? Is that what people think of me? And you know, all the rest of it. You know, different things do different things to different people. We feel fragile because of different situations. Now, Facebook doesn't really make me feel too fragile. I'm just giving an example. But we feel fragile because of different circumstances around us. And we're all different. But when you wake up and you feel fragile, what do you do? What do you do with that? Some of you, if you are fortunate to have somebody at home living with you, a husband or a wife, you may speak to them and just say, look, you know, I'm feeling fragile today. I'm not in a good space today. I've just woken up and I'm just not right. And maybe they might be able to pray for you or sometimes not pray for you, just tell you to sort yourself out. Because that's sometimes as helpful as being prayed for. I don't know why you're looking to Antoinette. That's Sammy who tells me that, not Antoinette. But, you know, sometimes it's just that, isn't it? Come on, focus. Come on. Focus. Focus on what you've got to do today. Focus on who you are today. And so it might be somebody around you who just says, you know what, just focus on who you are. Focus on what you've got to do. It might be that that person around you just says to you, look, you know, read your Bible. Read your Bible this morning. You haven't read it for days. Read your Bible. Some people, when they're feeling fragile and they wake up feeling fragile, they might just go back to messages or emails or comments that they've received from people just to build them up a bit. Or some actually the opposite. They might go to Facebook to look for some encouragement. And when we think about desiring God, I want us just to finish about desiring God in the times when we wake up and we start our day feeling fragile. Because you know what? That's the case, isn't it, sometimes? We wake up and we feel fragile. We love Jesus with all of our heart, mind, and soul. We love him. We're grateful for all he's done for us. But we just sometimes wake up and go, whew. And how do you desire God in that? How do you meet God in that? And I want to firstly say that, you know, God's word is powerful. And when God's spirit works with his word and illuminates his word to us, it's even more powerful. And I've said this from this pulpit stand many times before. We cannot be those Christians that get deceived to think that we do not need the word in our life daily, church. I talk about it often, but it's true. We need the word, don't we? We need the word in our life daily, and we need the spirit to illuminate God's word to us so that we can understand it. Because sometimes it's really hard to understand. But the reality is, sometimes when we wake up and we feel fragile, we just throw the duvet over our head and we think, I'm just going to stay put. Sometimes when we wake up and we feel fragile, the ones around us feel the pain of that. Or some of you just rather than saying, going to God and desiring God that day and saying, God, I'm feeling fragile today. And I come before you. Ricky was really helpful this morning. He said that it doesn't matter if he's a good father or a good husband or a good minister. And he was really polite to us, and I wholeheartedly agree with him that it doesn't matter what you think. It just matters what God thinks, that one day God will say to him, good and faithful servant, you're in. I think you're doing all right, buddy. I think you're in. But the reality is that actually that's all that matters. Is actually who God sees us for and what God thinks about us. And so often when we wake up and we feel fragile, it's usually because of what others have said to us, not what God said to us. Isn't it? Oh, come on, give me some expressions. It is, isn't it? It's usually because of what other people have said to us and not what God has said to us. Now, I'm not standing here saying I've got it all together. You know me by now. But the reality is it's because of what others say. And actually, when we hear about what others say about us, it's really then difficult for us to engage with God. And this whole series about desiring God, if God wants us to desire him when we wake up feeling fragile, because he just says, come on, have a little seat. Let's have a little chat. So how does God sustain his children? I came across a quote, which I found really helpful. It said, Instead of letting me sink into fears, God always answers my cries with concrete promises. Instead of letting me sink into fear and distance from God, He always answers my cries with concrete promises. And that is true for all of us. That we wake up in a fragile mood or we're just not there with God. Actually, God is in the business of not letting us be taken over by fear and by feeling like that. But God is always in the business of answering us by our cries and our desires and our wailing and our shouting and by giving us concrete promises about what he says about us. Isn't that true? But so often that isn't the reality, is it? It isn't the reality. Maybe it's not the reality as much because God isn't as present as he wants to be. You can only desire something and engage with something when you can only desire something and understand something when you engage with it a bit more. And the reality is that quite maybe some of us don't engage with him as much as we should, you know? It's really easy to be in ministry and not engage with Jesus. It's really easy to be a Christian and not engage with Jesus. We're all guilty of that. But God wants us in our state of being fragile is to desire him. So instead of letting me sink into fear of fears, instead of letting me sink into fear, God has always answered my cries with concrete promises. I wonder if somebody will turn to Romans chapter 6 for me. Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 6, verse 38 to 39. I wonder if somebody's bold enough just to read that out for us. Whoever gets there first. I listened to a pastor on the internet, and he has a church, Robert Gallaty, you've heard me. And whenever he says to the church, whenever you get to Romans chapter 8, verse 39, he always says, say the word. And when everybody says the word, he knows everybody's got there. So Romans chapter 8. Sorry, Romans chapter 6. 8. Romans chapter 8. I've got it here in front of me. Why are you all confusing me? Well, you know what I meant, didn't you? Come on, have some grace. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38 to 39. Is that okay, church? Are we with that? Do you want to come up here? Well, behave yourselves then. Right, who's going to read it for us? Make sure you read it correctly. Julie, read it for us and correctly do that, please. Amen. Well read. When we wake up feeling fragile, we need to, number one, understand God loves you unconditionally. When you read that passage of Scripture, a really famous passage of Scripture, and just imagine if you wake up and you feel fragile and you read that, where does it take you to? Where does it take you to? It takes you to a different place, doesn't it? Does it not? Speak to me. It takes you to a different place, doesn't it? God loves you unconditionally. So when you wake up in the morning feeling fragile, number one, know that God loves you unconditionally. Know Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. Know it to be true that there is nothing that can separate us from God. So in that moment, because there's nothing that can separate us from God, God wants us to desire his presence. Amen? Right, somebody else read Psalm. I'm going to be careful now because you're all rascals. Right, Psalm 121, maybe. Yes, Psalm 121. Verses 1 to 8. Who's going to read that for us? Caroline, are you there? Are you all set? Go for it.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm.
Amen. You see, it's not rocket science, because if Christianity was, and coming to know God was, then myself and maybe some of you, we wouldn't have got it. It's simple. And when we wake up in the morning and we feel fragile, and we feel distant from God, God says to us, Psalm 121, doesn't he? I lift up, where does my help come from? My help comes from God. And there and then, in our state of just being weak and fragile, we see straight away that actually God wants us to focus our attention on him and lift our eyes to him. Not lift our eyes to what others say or what others do, but lift our eyes to Jesus. Put your hand up if you find that hard sometimes. It's so much easier to listen to the words of others. But God says, don't listen to that. Listen to the word of truth, which is my word. Nobody's offended me today, so don't think I'm being oversensitive. They haven't, but just listen to the word of truth. Allow the word of truth to penetrate your heart. Rather than looking for another source that will only fail you anyway, look to Jesus. You are redeemed and have eternal, and we are redeemed and we have an eternal hope and home in heaven, church. So when we wake up in the morning and we feel fragile, God's concrete promise to us is that. Psalm 121. Would you turn with me to Psalm 139? Just a few pages on. Jonathan, would you read that for us? Read it till you think where it should stop, because you will know, because you're a student. So, Psalm 139, read it till you know what I'm saying, so read it till you think we should listen.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
And he stopped in the exactly right place, didn't he? He's clever, that one. You see, there we see again that when we it's all about desiring God, but when we wake up and we feel fragile, why do we look to other things? When God wants us just to simply desire him and to desire his truth. He knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows that we're in our bed and it's, you know, 25 past 10 or, you know, whenever it is. Sorry, Mrs. Hood, I've just confessed your sin. No. But you know, when you're in bed at 10:30 in the morning, still sleeping, yeah, because you're retired, that's okay. But you know, even when we're lying in our bed and we're still sleeping and we wake up and we're fragile and we're grumpy, God knows that we're there. And he knows how we're feeling. And he knows what we've received. And he knows what we need to hear. And he knows what we've got to do that day. And he knows what we need to hear to get us through that day. And he knows what we need to say sorry about. And he helps us to understand that so we can say sorry to him. See, God formed you and me and knows us intimately. So the one who knows us intimately is the one who wants us to be in his presence and desire him more. What do we do when we wake up feeling fragile? God knows that we're in that place already. So we come to him for restoration. We come to him to be restored. We come to him to receive strength and power from his word and from his spirit. So that we can then walk the day ahead of us that he has already ordained for us. You see, desiring God means connecting with God. And the reality is that we all wake up feeling fragile some days. And God says, Lord, God says, I know you and I search you. I know everything about you. Come to me. What a wonderful invitation. It's a little bit about like that invitation of just falling into the arms of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Can somebody get there for us? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Are you there, Pastora? Would you? No, you're not there yet. Okay. Anybody there? Put your hand up. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So what does that say? It says that we can come to God and we can come before him and he listens to us and he hears us, but also we have an opportunity to listen to him also. God's plan for our life is our life to prosper, to do the things that he's called us to do. And so when we wake up in the morning and we feel like our world is fragile, and we don't want to desire God, God says, no, desire me, for I have plans for you today. Good plans for you today. Do you believe this? Some of you look like you don't even believe it. Do you believe it? It's God's word. It's the truth, isn't it? And actually, God says this, come to me. It's there behind me. I didn't see that before, but you know, it's there. Just know that truth to be true, that he has plans and purposes for your life. But the reality is this sometimes. I think God always gets his own way. Well, I know he does. But sometimes we can be really deceptive. Because we can get up in the morning and say, I'm fragile, and just sit there and go, yeah, I am, and I'm going to be. And I'm not going to do what you want me to do today, God. And I'm not going to listen to your word. And I'm not going to listen to other people texting me with your word or other people encouraging me. I'm just going to sit there and be stubborn. Because actually, I think sometimes we get more attention when we're in that place than we do when we're in a good place sometimes. We get more attention when we're in a lower place than when we are in a good place. That's just part of reality. But God has a plan for us, for our life to prosper. And every day that you wake up, God's desire is for you and for me to desire him first and foremost, and then actually to live out the plans that he has for us today. Somebody said to me just this morning, I shook their hand on the door. I said, have a great week. They said, I'm not sure I'm going to have a great week. I said, why not going to have a great week? They said, I'm not sure I'm going to have a great week. I said, why not? I said, well, I don't know if I've got much to do and to give or to say. And I said, pardon? I said, well, you know, I haven't got much to give to the world. I haven't got much to say. I haven't got much to do. And they said, somebody I would regard to have quite a strong faith. And I said, well, where are you today? Well, just don't feel like I have any worth anymore. And I took them aside, like you do, caringly. And I didn't rebuke them, but I rebuked the devil. And I prayed for them this morning. I said, Lord, have sovereignty in that person's life again today. You know, Satan, get away. That's utter nonsense that a sister in church felt this morning. And I just simply prayed a prayer for her. I said, Lord, just reveal to her the plans that you have for her this week and the things that you've already ordained for her to do this week. And I'm really grateful that she spoke to me. Now, I'm sure God would have intervened tomorrow or the next day. I'm sure he would have done, because God wants us to desire him so we can see him more and understand him more, because he has a purpose and a plan for us to do the will of the Father. And unless we seek him and have a desire to engage with him, then sometimes we can miss the opportunities that he's given for us to do, can't we? And we're all guilty of doing that sometimes. Sometimes when we just wake up in the morning, we feel fragile and we feel grumpy, and we put the duvet over our head and we say, I'm just not going to work and I'm not speaking to anybody. Actually, that's a really selfish attitude to have. Because that's not what God said when he said, I will send my only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you, to give you life. And yet we put our head under the pillow and say, no, I'm having it my way. By coming to have a living faith in Jesus, Jesus calls us to live for him. Who's got Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? And then we're going to come into land. So I'm keeping to time. I hope you're impressed. Who's going to read that for us? Mr. Brown at the back, have you got that? Yeah. Are those glasses, is that going to work? He told me earlier on he's getting blinder, so I'm just checking. Are you all right? The Lord will help you, brother. He did before the service. Are you okay? Can you see it? The Lord is waiting for you, brother. We'll have a little, we'll look at the communion fund in a minute for some glasses. You'll be all right. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. It's a good job it's just a verse, isn't it, once we get there? Are you there? Go for it, brother. Amen. It was worth it, wasn't it? It was. Oh, amen. Bless you, brother. It was worth it, though, wasn't it? It was worth it. For the tape, I'm just giving him my glasses. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen. You know what? When you wake up in the morning sometime and you feel fragile, what do you tell yourself? I can do nothing. I'm worth nothing. I have no value. I have no purpose. Even some of you men, don't you put your heads down. I'm talking to you too. It's true, isn't it? But it says here, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The reality is that some days, people will wake up and will feel fragile. And we may feel fragile for the whole day. Is that not true? We might get to 10:30 coffee and we're still feeling fragile. And I do apologize to the staff team when that happens to me. Please hear my apologies. But you know, sometimes we get to 10:30 and we still feel fragile. And sometimes when we get to lunchtime, even though we've had a nice little bit of a salad and some fresh mango and a nice fresh salad and a glass of bottled water, we still feel fragile. And the moment we go home and we're at home in the evening, we get everything ready for the children to come home, and then we sit down for family tea, and we can still feel fragile, can't we? And then when we get to the end of the day and we have to go to a leadership meeting or another meeting or a life group. If you don't go to life group, you're missing out on something. Get yourself to life groups. That when we still feel fragile, don't we, sometimes? That sometimes during the whole day, it's just we feel fragile because we're just in a difficult place. And sometimes that's just the way it is sometimes for a day or two or a few days or even longer if we're going through some really difficult things. And let's just finish this series by saying this, that even going through those difficult things, God still wants us to desire him and to know him. I know that's hard, but it's true. He still wants us to desire him and to know him, even though at times it's not just our morning that feels fragile, it's our whole day. Or sometimes it's a couple of days or 3 or 4 days, But what he doesn't want is for us to not acknowledge him. Because it says here, I can do it everything for him who gives me strength. And he gives us strength to deal with that situation, doesn't he? And actually, that's not necessarily desiring God, but it's just receiving his power and his strength just to get through the day. And that's not us desiring him, but that's him putting his presence onto us. And are you not grateful that he does that at times? Even though when we just can't get out of that situation, he kind of turns it around and he puts his presence onto us by what he says here in Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So he kind of turns us around and he puts his power and his strength and his presence into us to help us walk that journey for a few days or a few weeks and sometimes for a few months and sometimes for a few years sometimes. But in doing so, we've got two options, haven't we? We can receive his power and his strength and just say, oh, thank goodness I've got it. And just still not grow. Or we can receive his power and strength in those moments of being fragile And we can say, you know what, because of that, I'm going to just elevate my head a little bit. I'm going to look to you. I look to the mountain, where does my help come from? You know, so often when we feel fragile and for a long time and we can't get out of it sometimes, it's God's power and his presence in our lives that just sustains us. And by sustaining us, he then gives us a little bit more strength again to turn our eyes upon his word. And if I want to finish, I've got some more things to say, but I think I'm going to finish there because I think it's a good place to finish. That let us be people that desire God. Let us be people that have a longing to be in his presence. And the thing, the worship band want to come up, the thing I want to say about that is he doesn't ask us to come with perfection, does he? Amen to that. Oof. But he just asks us to come. What did you say? Sorry? Just as well. Thank you, sister. I thought you were absolutely just as well. But he just wants us to come how we are. And we've heard those scriptures tonight. God loves us unconditionally. We are redeemed and have an eternal home with him in heaven. We are intimately formed and he knows us like nobody else does. God has a plan for our life to prosper. And what it means there is not to get a Mercedes Benz, but just it means that he has a plan for our life to continue with his presence with us. And then it says there in Philippians 4 that when we don't have the ability to desire him, he gives us you have a special strength available to your faith. The best resource that is available is the power of Christ. You have a special strength available to your faith. The best resource that's available when it's hard to desire God is the availability of the power of Christ to help us. So in closing, there should be no excuses, shouldn't there, in having a desire to be in God's presence. And you and I know that when we put ourselves in that place, it is always good. It is always good. And I must admit, it grieves my heart as a pastor when people say, who struggle and have difficulty and the devil, it breaks my heart when I see people that the devil kind of distracts their minds so much in their difficulties that he just pulls them away from God. And I'm often praying, just bring people back to God. With the little that they have, bring them back to God so that his power can just transform their lives again. So we're going to sing a few songs tonight. We're just going to respond now by singing a few songs together. And I just want to encourage you as we kind of finish this series up, we wrap the series up, and apologies for not keeping to the passages. But as we do that, we're going to sing a few songs. And during that, I wonder if you want to make an agreement with God tonight. It's up to you. You don't have to, but maybe just encourage you to say to God tonight, you know what, God, no matter what happens around me, I'm gonna desire you above it all. I'm gonna look to you above it all. I'm gonna listen to you as the one who has priority in my life. I read an article this week that says many Christians do not desire God enough because other Christians trip them up along the way. May that not be true of us. May you have a desire to encounter God, and may we as brothers and sisters in Christ not trip each other up, but lift each other up, and at times just take each other to the place where God needs us to be. Really grateful for my colleagues last Monday morning when I just needed somebody just to pick me up and to take me to God's presence again. And I'm grateful for Rick and Jonathan for doing that for me. And so we're no different. We're all the same, aren't we? But it's not for us to trip each other up or to commend what the world says and sort of say, oh, yeah, and get caught up in all that. It's about us helping each other and picking each other up and taking each other back to Jesus. So let me pray, and we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to finish. Father God, just thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that you're a God who answers our cries with concrete promises from your word. Thank you so much for your word, Jesus. And Lord, I pray, as I prayed in Galatians at the start, that now your word would just take root in our souls, and I pray that it would stay there, and that God will place it there, and it would have a dramatic effect on our life this week. Lord, for some of us in this room, I know tonight, it's easy to desire God. And we're right there now. We're there. We're sat at your feet, and we're with you. And for some others today, you've got a desire to be there, but you just can't get there. And I pray that the power of Jesus will take you there right now. And the prayers of other people around you will take you there. And for those of us tonight who just don't really have, we call ourselves a Christian, but we have no desire in our heart at all to engage with you, Lord, I pray that you, in a spiritual sense, will pick us up by the scruff of our neck in a loving way and just draw us back to your presence, because we need to be there. But Lord, there is no greater place to be. For those of us who are children of God, we are prince and princesses of the King. We are part of the royal priesthood. There's no greater place for us to be than at the feet of Jesus. Take us there, I pray, in Jesus' powerful name. Let's sing a song together.
The song is called Reckless Love. And it just speaks exactly of what it is Scott's just spoken to us about. I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, there's no shadow you won't light up.